God is good
all the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen.
Yes. Give him glory. Give him glory.
You know, we pray in a special way during this Mass also for all of our veterans. You know, they sacrificed their life to our men and women for in the military. So, you know, that day just passed, and we're going to remember them in our prayers, especially their family or friends.
Amen. Yes.
So there was a Protestant minister who was very famous. His name was Dwight L. Moody. And in 1871, October the 8th, he was preaching in Chicago. And the question he pointed in his sermon was, "What will you do then with Jesus who is called the Christ?" And he said, "Now I'll give you a week to think that over. And when you will have an opportunity to respond to say yes or no to Jesus Christ." Immediately following after that sermon, there was the famous Chicago fire, where thousands of people who perished and were homeless. The people that were in his congregation most likely did actually lose their life. And he thought to himself, he wished he could turn the hands of time and say, "You should ask that question this very moment instead of next week." To take the opportunity to answer that question that night. And he wished he could have done it differently. But he learned what we learn in the gospel. We should get ready and be ready. Amen?
Yeah.
There was this man who was a veteran, World War II veteran, and he loved to patrol his neighborhood. He would always patrol his neighborhood. He didn't have a firearm, he had a knife, but he wanted to patrol the neighborhood and to notify anyone, any neighbor, if someone was trying to get into their house. You know, he took it upon himself to do this service for his community. And while he was doing this, there was a group of young teenagers that saw him, and they just were, you know, they had this evil idea in their mind, and they wanted to hassle and this elderly man. And they made fun of him, and they kind of taunted him, and they pushed him. He fell on the ground. And when they were doing this, he only spoke to them with charity. And he tried to, you know, correct them and get them closer to have faith in Jesus. He was trying to preach to them while they were doing this. And it fell on deaf ears. They just were not willing to open their hearts to the gospel. And after they all ran away and the neighbors saw what was going on and they called the police, one of those teenagers, in the silence of his heart, when he went back, he had a conversion experience where the Holy Spirit inspired him to realize what he did was wrong. And he took the initiative to be a man, and he owned up to what he did was sinful, and he went up to this veteran, and he apologized. We see how the contrast, right, like where this preacher, he's preaching and he gives the challenge to be ready and get ready, right? And this elderly man was always ready. He was ready to preach the gospel. He was ready to do this in the context of a situation where you think, well, it's hopeless. These guys are not going to listen. He said hope, and he still wanted to plant the seed of faith in these teenagers that were sinful, that had no respect for an elderly man, and they had no respect for a veteran. They had no respect, and it seemed like they didn't have a conscience. But he didn't want to give up. He was ready to still preach the gospel, even in that simple way, knowing that it may not bear fruit. And he didn't lose his temper. He didn't lose his his peace. He still had the peace of Christ with him. The oil did not run dry. The light of Christ was shining in his heart. The oil didn't run dry. He was getting ready, and he was ready. If he lost his life in that altercation, that moment, he would have transitioned, and the Lord would have rewarded him for his faithfulness into the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
You know, when we think about a football game, just imagine if you're a football player, and you have no idea about that there's four periods in the game. You don't look at the clock. You're not understanding the time limits, the two-minute warning. You're just oblivious to all that, right? The fact that there's a time period. It will be very ignorant to not realize that. And it also will be useless, because then how can you win the game? How can you know if you're losing or you're winning if you don't even know the time period? It will be pointless, right, if you didn't know the time period. In the game of life, we have to always be ready and stay ready.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen? Because the clock is ticking for all of us. The clock is always ticking, and we don't get a two-minute warning to know when it's going to run out. We don't get that two-minute warning. We don't get to hear the sound and see the clock. Right? It's invisible, but we know the clock is ticking for every one of us. We know there will be an end. So the Lord reveals to us through the gospel, the parable, we have to be ready and stay ready. Be ready and stay ready, because we never know when the Lord will call us home. I remember when I was in Nativity of Our Lord Parish, and I was in a Legion of Mary meeting. And they said to me, look, they have this parishioner. She used to come to Mass every day. And she used to go to confession. She prayed the rosary. Then she disappeared. She was a shut-in. And she said that nobody was visiting her. So I talked to the pastor. I said, hey, what's going on? So-and-so, I heard about this. They're not getting any visits. And he said, I know. He said, her daughter refused to let him in. Every time he would call, she always gave him the runaround. She said, oh, she's in the hospital. Oh, she's in rehab. He never got permission to enter her house. So the daughter refused to let the pastor in. And he said, that's the situation. That was the scenario. And this mother, she didn't seem like she was pushing her daughter to let the pastor in. She seemed to be able to just let it go. So they tell me, like, you know, they said, you need to call her, you need to reach out to her. So I called, and sure enough, the pastor was telling the truth. I called the daughter, she said, no, she's busy right now, she can't come to the phone. I said, look, I just want to come in and, you know, give her the sacraments and leave. I'm not going to be there and, you know, take up all your time. I just think this is something that she needs to have and to receive. I'm not going to, you know, come every week or month. I'm just let me through the door. She paused, and she said, okay. So I went in, and I heard her confession. I gave her Holy Communion, and she said she was struggling with her faith. She said that, you know, she was thinking about her, she always prayed the rosary, but she was losing her faith in her Catholic faith. She was thinking about leaving her Catholic faith, the church. But she didn't have any way of doing it. She was immobile. She was in a wheelchair, so she couldn't leave physically, but she was struggling with her faith. And I tried to encourage her and give her encouragement to hold on to the faith. You're already praying the rosary every day, so it shows that you do want to keep your Catholic faith. And I said, here I am. I'm giving you, you know, the grace of absolution. I'm giving you Holy Communion, anointing the sick. The very next week, she died. So how is it that our Lord made sure that she received the sacraments before she died?
Come on, God. Amen.
It wasn't my plan. It wasn't the pastor's plan. The voice of God inspired the people of God. You as the people of God, you become the voice of Christ. If you call me and tell me that so-and-so needs the sacraments, I'll be more happy to go. But you are my ears, you are my eyes. Is the way it works. They told me this sister in Christ. They did not forget her. And they were the voice of Christ for her. And so when they told me, don't give up, they kind of encouraged me to persevere. And I said, okay. You know, they want this to happen. They think it's going to happen. So I pushed, and it happened through the grace of God. The oil was already lit. Our Lady heard those prayers. And she didn't forget her daughter. She was not going to forget her daughter. And so she knew who to call. And so the Legion of Mary used that opportunity to tell me, and therefore she received the sacraments. This is the grace of God, that the Lord will always help us to be ready and get ready if we have eyes of faith. The being ready is prayer. Never forget to pray. Never say, I'm too tired or I'm busy. If you're busy, you're too busy to pray, then that means you need to pray more, not less. Because that means God has to be first. Amen? And so when we pray, the oil is lit. When we pray, we are awake. We're fully conscious of God's real presence in us. And when we acknowledge the Lord will acknowledge us. So you may think, why is it that the women, right? Why didn't they give some of their oil to the women who ran out of oil? Why not just give that away, right? Well, I could say it like this. Just imagine you're in an airplane. You're in an airplane, and the plane is starting to lose altitude. What do they tell you to do when you're in an airplane? Put on your mask. Do they say put on the mask of the passenger first? They say you put on the mask on yourself first. They don't say you put it on someone else first. If someone else is struggling, you're both going to be having no mask. So you put on the mask, the oxygen mask, on yourself first, and then you do it for the passenger who's struggling. Because if you pass out, you're useless to the person who's struggling. So the Lord reveals to us, I know and we know, we cannot give someone else faith. We can pray for someone to have faith. We can be an example for someone to have faith. But you can't force someone else to have faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Because we know that's a relationship. We can't say that I have a relationship with the Lord and we're going to say, I'm going to say, you know what, Lord? This person doesn't want you. They don't need you. But I want you to force yourself into their heart. But we know that's impossible. Our Lord is a gentleman. He will not force his way into our house, right? So he knocks on the door, expecting, hoping that we open the door to let him in. But that means we have to be ready and stay ready. So when we pray, we're allowing ourselves to refill that oil within our soul. And when the oil is there, the light is on. And the light is on because Christ is the light. He is the light. So Jesus is the light. And when the light is on, we have to keep that oil running so the light doesn't go out. Amen? So that question in our mind, okay, I got to get to Mass. I got to read Scripture. I got to pray. I got to do acts of charity, right? Acts of mercy. All these things, not just praying, but doing. Because we're human beings that allow our faith to be expressed in our actions. So the acts of charity, acts of mercy, that's keeping the oil running, right? Not just prayer. So the producer for the Passion of Christ, and also Braveheart, Steve McEvity. So he went to a Catholic university, and they said to him, okay, what is your goal in life? So he started to look in another direction, and he thought, he said, I want to get my children into heaven, and also, I guess, myself. They never expect him to answer that way. They would think, like, he's going to make another movie, he's going to make more money, anything else, but having that intention to get his children into heaven. Because the end goal for each and every one of us is heaven. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's what our goal in life. We want to go to the wedding feast, which is the kingdom of heaven. So the virgins that were ready, they got in. Because in the middle of the night, the Lord knocked on that door. That means in the night of our life, when we least expect it, the Lord would knock on our soul and will be ready for us to open so that we go in the wedding feast, which is the kingdom of heaven. And so the marriage that our Lord talks about, he says, he is the bridegroom and our soul is like the bride. And so the union between us and the Lord is that perfect union that is eternal. You know, the reason why I wasn't here last Sunday is because I had a wedding in Hattiesville, Maryland. And there was a young man named Jose Baba who was basically, he was in my home parish of St. Francis Sales. And he basically was, at one point he tried to be a priest. He wanted to be a Franciscan priest. So he was in formation and he was in there for 6 years. And he discerned that it wasn't his call. He wanted to get married. And so his wife is, she's an organist, and she was training and studying to become a Carmelite nun. She was in that for many years, I think maybe 5 years, to become a Carmelite nun. So a Carmelite nun, they stay inside, and all they do is pray and do penance. That's all they do. They offer up prayers. So she left the convent. He left the friary, and they end up meeting each other. She could play the organist. She could sing. So in the homily, I was called to preach in the homily. I said that that she is the artist and that he's the con artist. I could tease him like that because we're very close friends. But he's a great guy, very virtuous man. So we know that, you know, our young people, they need to see that example, right? Marriage is such a sacred, holy sacrament. It's a powerful sacrament. And I think we always have to keep in mind to pray for our young people to be ready and stay ready in that sacrament. Because marriage is the foundation of the church. You know, God called Adam and Eve to become one, right? We know that was the first sign, right, of that union of humanity, Eve, Adam and Eve as one. And so we always have to ask our Lord to help us to be good examples and to be ready and stay ready as a disciple of Christ and to always to be ready just like the military. The military mindset is they always want to get ready and be ready because they never know where they're going to be called to active duty. They never know when there's going to be a situation where they don't know what's going to happen. You know, they train, they study, everything to always be ready and to stay ready. And we are soldiers as well, you know, and Jesus through Mary, not to attack people, right? Not to do that or use firearms, but to attack the devil, to attack the spirit of the world. So we need that prudence, the gift of prudence. Prudence is to always know how we always have to be ready and get ready. You know, when we make our decisions in a spiritual life, we don't want to be quick to make decisions. We want to pray, reflect, examine, take counsel. All that process is being ready, is getting ready. And so that we make the right decision to allow ourselves to continue to have that oil, to continue to have the light of Christ in us, so that that light continues to shine for the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.